Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets
and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chose the Torah, Moses, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Coach Eli, how everybody feeling this morning? I mean, under the circumstances, you know, under the circumstances, I don't know if all know out there in Blog Talk land that here at Beth Yahweh, we're going through some pain and some troubling times right now, because it's not the first time we've been through this, though. It's not the first time we've been through this. It's not even the second time we've been through this. This is about the third time we've been through this, and each time we went through it, like an old rabbi used to say, we came out smelling like a rose. So, but I want to start off with the scripture in Sirach. You may not have that in the book of Sirach 2:1. But I'm filling in for my brother Harvell, who is on his way. His show will continue. But the words say, be you ready with a word in season and out of season. So Yahweh always have men standing in the gap. And let's put the world on notice. Let's put Satan on notice. Let's put everybody who will doubt that the Creator is here with this congregation. We're not saying he's not with nobody else, but we know he's here, that Yahushua is the one who rules over this congregation. He is the head of this congregation, and he has chosen men to always be there standing in the gap and to speak on his behalf. Our spiritual leader, he's going through some tough times right now. But he said, that's all right. I have other men that will stand in the gap. Because Yahushua is on the throne. Like the song just said, I'm talking to you, Satan. He made it personal. Like the temptation on the mount. Yahushua talked directly to him when he tried to come and tempt him. What did he do? He used words. We are going to have to do that because we haven't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen absolutely nothing yet. In troubled times, it's coming. In the later months, in the later days, in the later years, even for our beloved brother, Brother Yaakov Al, Sister Kadesia, and the whole Beth Yahweh family, because as we go and we get in our quiet place, here come the adversary. We have to be mindful of that. He is not going to let that go. He is not going to let that go easy. And when he see us doubting, he's coming even harder. So we have to be close-knit. Scripture says, those who love Yahweh spoke to one another daily. It should not be a time that we don't speak to one another. It's more importantly now that we speak to one another, check on one another, text one another, answer a text. Now, we cannot continue to live how we've been living. We cannot do that. Now, this is the third time that we've been through this. So Yahweh is, and each time we got closer. Each time. So this is the time when we're going to get even closer. It got to be cohesive. It got to be so that can nothing break us. So this is our third time going through this. And it's for a reason. Because Yahweh need us to be as a card. He need us to be in one. He need us there. Because Satan is coming. Trust me. In my household and everybody else's household is going to be under attack. It's going to be under attack from your job, from every aspect of your life, from your children. He is coming. Why? Because he don't want us to be one unit. He wants somebody to be out there on that island alone. We know the story when the children of Israel came out, who he went after, the feeble, the young, those who wasn't strong in the faith, or those who were doubting. So we have to stay cohesive. We have to stay as one. Because he's coming. He's coming. Sirach 2:1. My son, If you come to serve Yahweh, prepare your soul for temptation. That's total opposite of what they teach in the world, right? What they teach in the world. Well, when you come to the Creator, your life is going to be a bed full of roses. It's the total opposite. It's the total opposite. Brother James said it like this. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, see, the word of Yah is one. It's the total opposite when we come to serve Yahweh. And I admit, I was one of those when I first came in 17 years ago, thinking that, you know what, I'm going to turn my life to the Creator, and my life going to be better. And let's not get it twisted. It is better. It is 100% better. But He's not promising us a rose petal bush, and your life is going to be easy. Because if it's easy, we won't complete it. If it's hard, stick with it, and we'll go through it. And if we stick with it, He know at the end we want it. We want it. I take my kids, and y'all probably can look at y'all kids. When you just give them and give them and give them, what happens to them? They become spoiled. They don't want to work for it no more because they automatically got it. But when you take those things away from them and make them work for what they have and let them know that life is hard, you're going to have to get out there and put your best foot forward. That's what Yahweh is saying to us. Life is hard. But if you stay with me, I will keep your mind in perfect peace. If you stay with me, you will have a prize at the end of the road. If you endure to the end, and Satan's job is for us not to endure to the end, it's for us not to get that prize. Why? Because he's not going to get that prize. And he don't want nobody else to get that prize. He don't want nobody else to get to that higher call. Him and his people was kicked out. Set your heart aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of calamity. Constantly endure. If Yahweh would take the blinders off of us, if he would remove this veil that's over top of our carnal mind and allow us to see into the spiritual, it will scarce. So Yahweh is merciful in that he don't let us see into the spiritual, because if you can understand the multitude of demons, the multitude of attacks that is on your life at one time, at once, it will send you crazy. But like in Daniel, when the angel came to him and said, hey, Daniel, the first time you prayed, I was there, but I was held up. How many of us believe that that's happening in our lives? You know, is that a reality for us? When we pray sometimes to the Most High, hey, because of who we are in the Most High, the demon, first and foremost, wants to get us to doubt. He wants us to have us that we don't have the patience. Yahweh is not answering. Yahweh is not listening. What do you say? The first time you set your face toward the heavens, your prayers was answered. But I was held up by the Prince of Tyre. No. For a fact that if we are Yahweh's, sometimes Yahweh, our prayers get held up too. Sometimes that demon do not want us to have a vibrant or 100% faith. And then sometimes Yahweh wants to show us where we at within him. Because count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because Yahweh want to know what you're going to do. You want to know. What you going to do? Are you going to be like Abraham, the father of faith, and slay? Or are you going to be like the rest of the world in doubt? No. No. Set your heart aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of calamity. Cleave to him and depart not, that you may be increased at your latter end. Accept whatever is brought upon you, and be long-suffering when you pass us into humiliation. Now, what is Yahweh saying right there? Accept whatever happens to you. long-suffering when you pass us into humiliation. Yahweh want to humiliate us? Do Yahweh want to humiliate us? Or do he want us to be humble? Or life situations, he will allow life situations to humble us. That's what he's talking about. Sometimes Yahweh will allow this life to beat you up so bad that all you can do is cry, Abba. All you can do is cry. So you can tell what he meant by even reading the second verse. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of humiliation. Acceptable men. Acceptable sons and daughters of the Father, we are tried in the fire. We are going to go through some things that the average person in the world cannot handle. The average person in the world, the person that is without the Father, they can't handle that. They do not have that thing that's working inside them to say, keep on going, my daughter. Keep on going, my son. That is that Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit that's working inside of us. Because trust and believe, we all have our doubts. We all have our moments where as though we ask, why, Father? And I guarantee that's been the age-old question that we have been asking every time. Why, Father? I remember when Brother Gershom Ben Daniel first passed away, that was one of the first questions is, why, Father? And we thinking that his work ain't done yet. No, he ain't take this congregation, this body of believers where he's supposed to take it. His work is not done yet, Father. Why? We honestly couldn't believe why it happened. It was the same thing now. Why it happened. So Yahweh gave me something. He gave me something when we asked that why. And I don't sit here and pretend to know, think that I know that answer to why. Because he hasn't given me that answer to why. He hasn't given me that yet. I guarantee you, we keep on praying and we keep on answering. Between the Kohanim, he'll give it to us. But he asked the question himself. He asked the why himself. Why is mankind so evil? I was sitting there meditating on it and talking to him about it. His whys kept on going. Why is it man doesn't want to listen to what I do for him? Why is it man doesn't want to love me the way I love him? Why is it my own children turn their back on me at times? You think I don't see that at times? You think I don't know what they do in their secret places, in their mind? You think I don't see that? Why is that? I mean, his questions of why just kept coming. I'm like, how about you? I got to go to sleep. Because you know the spirit will keep you up. But his questions of why kept rolling and rolling. I gave you a dietary law, man. Why you don't want to keep that? Why you don't want to do that? I gave Israel me. You rejected that. Talked to a brother last night, and not going to say the brother's name, but we was talking on the way, and the brother said that he don't have compassion. He may not have compassion for those who reject the Messiah. Oh, Lord, the Ruach got indignant with him. He got upset with him. The Ruach came out on him. Hey, I didn't want to control it. Because you know what he said? Hold up now. I came down there in flesh, and they rejected me. When I looked at Israel, I cried. I wept for Israel. I had compassion for Israel. You talking about I had to put on this monkey suit and come down out of glory and come down here in this filth. And they looked me in my face and said, we reject you. We don't want you. And you're going to tell me you don't have compassion for them? You're missing a part of me. You're missing a part. When they put me on that stake to die for each and every one of you, I still had compassion on them. I said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They're missing a part of me. You are not allowing a part of me to come through you. And maybe that's the answer to the why. Because we're not loving in the way of Yahushua enough, the way we're supposed to be. We're missing it. We got the dietary laws. We got the fringes. We got the modesty. We have everything. Where is my compassion for this world? Where is that? Where is that piece of me that I need you to show foremost? Ain't none of y'all have to leave your glory. None of y'all. I ain't even asking y'all to leave y'all glory. All I'm asking y'all, what you was born into, to show glory. That's all I'm asking you. What you was born into, to show it. And you don't even want to do that. You want to hold back. You want to stay malice. You want to stay hard. They put me on a tree. Nailed me to a tree for you. But if I'm in you, you're going to be on that tree too. And especially if you're a Kohanim, when the words say, Eya Asha Eya, that's you, Kohanim. That's who you're supposed to be to this world system. Priest was everything to Israel when they was doing right by Yahweh. They was everything to Israel. Everything. Not just to Israel, but to this world. Because our master was everything to this world. Everything. When you asked him for something, he may send to you some, hey, you know what, the children's meat is not for you. But when he saw that that person was sincere and wanting to love him, well, you know what, come on now. I have not seen all that much faith in all of Israel. In all of Israel. The why is what are we doing to show Yahushua in this world? We have become comfortable. Yahushua did not live a comfortable life. He did not live it. His life was not comfortable. You don't believe it? Read the Gospels. It wasn't comfortable. He was always combating evil, always tearing down Satan's kingdom. What's the name of our weekly brother show? Kohalahim, what's the other one? What did Dr. L, what did he change it to? It's right there in your faces. We've been talking about it since Tuesday. What was it? What we just go through? He changed it to something. Jeremiah 1:10? Jeremiah 1:10? To root up, to tear down. That is every believer's responsibility in this world, to root up, to tear down. But if we're comfortable, we can't root up and tear down Satan's kingdom. Well, that's what Yahweh put on my heart.
Hallelujah.
He put in there. And I can't deny that. But I'm going to pass it on over to Brother Harbaugh and let him give what Yahweh prepared for us. Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom, family.
Don't look at me with those heavy eyes, because you know I'm a crying.
I'm sad. Shabbat. Let's find comfort in it today. Okay? Let's find comfort in his Sabbath day. Yes, our hearts are heavy, broken. But my brother was saying, we have to carry on. We must persevere. We have to push through what we are going through now, and I can't disagree with anything that my brother said. As a matter of fact, I can't agree with him more that this is just the beginning of what we are going to go through in regards to the struggles that are going to come with our faith, the struggles that are going to come with everything that the adversary is going to bring to us. And I chose that song specifically today because that song, Being a Conqueror, is a song of struggle, also a song of power, because, like my brother said, he speaks directly to him. He knows what he is up against. And he says, I hope you hear me. That's the Father speaking to him. That's that boldness that has been placed within us by the power of Yahushua. We said we can boldly go before the throne of Yah because we are sons, just like Yahushua, sons and daughters, just like Yahushua is. You know, the brother, when I left the car, listening to the blog talk, he was asking why. And I tell you, Yahweh is on time, and it's so appropriate, because the last thing I asked Yaakov when I missed a week was, you know, can I have an extra week, you know, and then I finished up last week and with the co-creation, and you know, I asked him again. He said, no, brother, go on, you know, I want to hear what you have to say. There's going to be, you know, you basically, you got another lesson you got to teach. And Abba had already placed it in my mind that go from the beauty of his creation to the ugliness of that corruption that quickly set in. And why? Why? What are we going to see why today? We're going to see why today. And then the question that we have to ask ourselves after hearing the why is, and I think this is somewhat of what my brother was saying, you know, what are we going to do going forward? You know, one of the things that Aki mentioned on the, while I was listening on the way over here is, you know, gold, you know, is tried by fire. That's the word of Yahweh. You know, he said he put Israel in the iron furnace to prove them, you know. And when you talk about that iron furnace, when you talk about how gold is tried by fire, you are put through that heat. Heat burns. Heat is intense. But heat also does something else. It gets away those impurities. It gets away what the scriptures, or well, in the terms of people who, you know, do jewelry and stuff, you get the dross off. You know, you get that unusable stuff off of the top. It's kind of like a slime, or like, and you know, you can't have that mixed into fine jewelry. You have that stuff mixed into fine. It's not fine jewelry if you have all the waste and all of that foolishness mixed into it. So you got to get it out. So that's what Abba is doing. He's getting rid of the unusable things that are within us. And the only way to really do that is to put us through certain trials, put us through certain tribulations, and to see what we were doing. And, you know, so far it looks like we're doing the right thing. The first thing is we're coming together. We are being ox and our coats in this situation. We have surrounded our brother and our sister with that protection, keeping the love in, keeping the pain out, uplifting them when they need us the most, not leaving them alone, except when they need their private time to be together. You know, the brother said last night that us being around him helped him forget the trouble that he was going through. You know, I listened to our conversations, and we tried to keep it so that his spirit, and I saw a chuckle here, there, got a little LOL in there, so it's working that, you know, we are around our brother, because that's what we just heard, the sisters in there singing, and the brothers wasn't singing. You know, that was their healing and what they needed to do. You know, hear my cry, oh God. Attend unto my prayer. How we know we are body. You know, part of what we talked about last week is, you know, hurting your significant other is just like hurting yourself. You know, my one of my mentors, you would know when she told her, you would know when she would hit her knee on that desk. She would cry out, and she would curse that desk, and she would get up and start limping around. Why? Because even though she hurt that knee wasn't the only part of her body that felt it. Her whole body felt it. I don't know if you ever hit yourself in a way, you know, you might stump that toe last year getting ready for Sukkah. I think I shared this with y'all. Going up the stairs, you know, I'm pigeon-toed and kind of bow-legged, so I have problems walking from time to time. I tend to trip over my own 2 feet. And I missed a step, And my toenail caught the step in a way that it literally yanked it off the nail bed. And that boy was sitting straight up. It's where it's supposed to be laying down. And when I looked at it, I freaked out. I was like, oh, no. And I panicked and just pushed my put it right back down on it and kind of like was like, please, whatever you do, don't come all the way off. And I ran upstairs and put some peroxide on that bad boy and you know, soaked it and, you know, put a little bit of a bandage around it, kind of keep it in there together. And it kind of worked, you know, in healing it, but it hurt. You know, it hurt to take every step for a couple of days. As a matter of fact, the whole time out at Suco, it hurt to take every step out there. But you know what? I wasn't going to let it tear my Suco down. I wasn't going to let it steal my joy. You know, but it hurt my whole body. It threw my walk off. I walked around with a limp for a good part of Sukkot last year. Went to the last days that it kind of was feeling kind of better. So we're all hurting right now. But while we're hurting, we're also healing. We're also doing the things that I think Abba is very proud of us to see us coming together the way we have. When was the last time we kept Shabbat? When was the last time we brought in Shabbat together? Very, very, very long time. You know, it's sad part. They say it about the black community. That, you know, there are times like this is when we to come together. But you know what? We did come together, you know, and that's the point. We came together, we're coming together, and we're going to stay together. Hallelujah. That's what's most important. But I do have some scriptures to talk about today. And the brother asked why. We're going to see why. First scripture we have today, family, is get to my notes. 10:18. We're going to start with Luke 10:18. Matter of fact, we might just read up a little bit higher. Book of Luke, 10th chapter. Okay. He says, after these things, Yahushua appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. What do you see there? He's giving men a commission. He's giving men a charge, right? So therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go on your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Shalom to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your shalom shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now, don't get it twisted. He ain't saying eat whatever you want. He's talking about going out amongst people who ain't eating pork and shellfish and lobster and catfish and all that type of stuff. He's talking about going into people who are willing to receive the Torah of Yah. Luke 10:7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, each such set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of Elohim is nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And my brother just mentioned something that I thought was very appropriate. Because, see, he came unto the house of Israel, and he came unto the house of Jacob, and he came into the city of Jerusalem. And what did they do? He wished the peace upon them. him being the son of peace. And what did they do? They rejected it. They rejected it. So when you look at Jerusalem and you look at that land over there today, there will never be peace in that land. Because when the Son of Peace came and wished peace upon them, what did they do? They rejected it. We have no God but Caesar. Huh? That's what they said. I mean, we have no king but Caesar, right? Okay. Okay? So let's look at it just from that perspective. There will never be peace in that land. Can't no president, can't no prime minister, can't no United Nations, can't no world edict ever bring peace to that land. Because when the Son of Peace walked in those streets and held the dust on his feet, guess what? They hung him up on a stake, naked, before all the people, and said and declared, he is not our God. We have no God. We have no king but Caesar.
Right.
Hmm? And even though it was written in three languages, King of the Jews, in three different languages, they still said, no,
right,
we don't want him. Hmm? So when we don't see peace over there, that is one of the reasons why there isn't peace over there. Because Yahushua wiped that dust off of his feet.
That's right.
Hmm? So people still talking about going over there, fighting for that land, and that land belongs to him. I want that land until he comes back and he touches down on that ground, and there can be nothing but his reign and nothing but his peace to exist. But that's not the point of it all. Just turkey backing on some of my brothers. 10:12, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Hmm? Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the works, the mighty works that had been in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And he's addressing all cities that's in that land over there. Hmm? Capernaum still exists over there. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, Yahushua, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld it. Now think about it now. Just think about one of us. We see something. Let's think now. You go down to University Hospital one day, and somebody's stricken with a disease that the doctors can't find any cure for, and you say to that child, be healed, my child. And that child is automatically here. The doctor say, oh, it's a miracle. We had no diagnosis for this. And this brother came in here and said, whoa, and she or he was healed. Right? This is the joy and the jubilation they're having right now. He said to them, he burst their bubble. He said, oh, hold up, y'all rejoicing over that high school and all, you know. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Point I wanted to make right there was Luke 18 and what he said. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Hmm? No, I'm reading down to 20 because it's important. Behold, I give unto you, back in 19, unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hmm? Amen. Okay? Going to go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, 9th. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So my brother had mentioned that a little earlier, because we are still going to talk about creation. But before we talk about creation, just wanted to stand there a little bit and show that this corruption that started was started before we even got involved. Are we going to see that? So turn with me now to Genesis, the third chapter. Now remember what Yahweh had given Adam. Listen. You can't hear me or the thing. You can't hear me? You know I got a little voice. Huh? You know my voice little. I ain't got this other voice. I might need you
to sit up one more chair, one more row for me, my sister.
What's that? Oh, the speakers? Oh, okay. It's all hooked up.
All right, let me get this.
You know I ain't got the biggest voice up here. But Ariel was up here. That nobody, I think everybody heard. You heard him back there in the bleacher seats.
Shalom. All right. We're going to sit back there. Okay. I got my big man on. Hallelujah.
All right.
So here we go. And it says in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. Right? So the first thing we learn about this creature, now remember, when Yahweh made all the beasts of the field, and all of its creation, back in the second chapter, one of the things that he did with every one of the beasts of the field was bring them to Adam. And he had Adam name them. Based on whatever Adam said about that creature, Yahweh accepted it as so and named the creature appropriate, right? So, this creature now, the serpent, was named such because of this, that he was more subtle than any other creature or any other beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made, right? Now, what state do you think Adam was going to be in, or what state that this creature was in for Adam to name him such, to name him a serpent, which in Hebrew is nakash, right, which means whisper, right? And we see one of the things that the first thing that was used to describe him, that he was subtle, right? Now, let's look at that in Hebrew. It's in the Hebrew section of your lexicon. It's 6175. And it is arum, right? It says it's a passive participle of Hebrews 6191, and it means cunning in a bad sense, crafty, prudent, subtle. So we know from the jump, Adam understood this about this creature. He was not one to be trusted. Anyone who, and it says in a bad sense, he was cunning. Prudent, subtle. Let's look at the word, the other embedded word in there. It's 6191, which is Aram. It says it's a primitive root, properly to be or make bear, but used only in the derived sense through the idea perhaps of smoothness, to be cunning, usually in a bad sense. Very, beware. Take crafty counsel, be prudent, deal subtly, okay? So this is the first thing we are told to recognize about this creature. Now, let's look at the other thing. Let's look at his name, right? It's Hebrew section 5175, and the term is nakash. And it says from Hebrew 5172, a snake from its hiss. Right? When we look at that other word, 5172, to hiss, that is whisper, a magic spell, generally to prognosticate, certainly divine, enchanter, use enchantment, learn by experience, indeed, diligently observe. Right? So we see now what he is doing. And I'm quite sure that when it was presented to Adam, Adam noticed that about him, right? That he's sitting there all the time watching, observing, keeping an eye on him, right? Now, what do we think about anybody who we see watches us this a little bit too much, watches us this a little bit too intently, and really doesn't say too much? But when they say a little, it always brings about doubt and questioning within. So this is what Adam is observing about him. Because, see, one of the things about that term Arun, see, he did and he cannot hide. Adam already peaked this man, this creature's game. He knows what he's about right off the bat. But he was created by our Creator too. Okay. So let's understand that about him. One, he ain't over. Two, he sits back. He watches. And somebody who sits back and watches and observes is studying you because for one or two reasons, either they have good intent or they have ill intent. But look at the second. Look at the first thing that he does now. After we introduce to him, the first thing he does is this. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Yahweh, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? First of all, hold up. That wasn't even said to him. That wasn't even said in his presence. That was said to Adam. So that right there shows you exactly what he's been doing the whole time. And he knew exactly how to get his end for his ill intent. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, what do we learn from this, right? Change the word of Yahweh. He changed the word of Yahweh. Or in other words, he misused what Yahweh said in order to bring about doubt, in order to bring about confusion, in order to, and we're going to see this, in order to gain something. Turn with me to Matthew 4. Yahushua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. What do we see there? In your weakened state, he is going to tempt you. In your weakened state, he is going to ask you questions. In your weakened state, he's going to try to your mind. You understand what I'm saying? And it's appropriate right now because we are in a weakened state. And if everybody is like me, you are having a lot of questions. At some point, maybe even some doubt. And at some point, maybe even some faltering. But understand this. The way to combat it, we've already been given the playbook on how to do this.
Right.
The first thing you have to run to is that word. Then you have to run to. And to be quite frank, that's the first thing Eve tried to come back at him with. She did it. Because whatever word was given to Adam, she tried to give it back to him. Because Adam had shared some things with her. However, we have to understand that he is what? He's crap. He's subtle. He's going to come at you at a point. He's going to come at you at a point where he thinks he's got you. Matthew 4:4, but he answers him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It's not about this physical food. It's not about this physical life. But every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. But does he stop there? No, he doesn't. Matthew 4:5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. Now, look at what he's doing. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Yahushua said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. Don't put him through no test. Don't put him through. You got to look at it right in baseball. You got the pitcher. You got the bat. And he's got three opportunities to get you. It's so funny that we talked about baseball. To get you to fall for this trick. He gets three opportunities to get you to fall for his trick. 4:8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, just imagine. We are talking about a few thousand years after the events that took place in Genesis. And even though it's not as terrible as it is now, it was still pretty much in a bad state. All we see now in our day and age is just technology is different, but as far as all the corruption that was going on, when you see how Yahushua was sold out by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all that was government corruption. They were the governing body. They were governing over Israel. They went to the governing body over Rome, and they said, look here, we're going to sell this man out because we don't like what he is talking about. So we see that, that sort of corruption is not new. It still exists to this day. So he's presenting him now. He says, I'm going to give all of this to you. And again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said unto him, all these things which I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Yahushua at that point had enough. He said, it is written, Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim and him only. Then the devil leaveth them, and behold, angels came and ministered. Now, what do we see happens at the end? After he puts up his fight, after he withstands him, Satan left, and now the angels can come around and they can minister. You know, it's one of the things that in the movies or Hollywood never talked about. How even he needed some encouragement. So now look at our situation like that, right? But you can't get, I think, my opinion, prove me wrong, you can't feel any worse pain than the loss of love. This is causing all of us. But what have the ministering angels come to? What have the ministering angels come to do? Because we are not encouraged to uphold, to uplift. This is what the body is doing. This is the example. See, we are acting right now in the stead of angels, ministering spirits. Those who carry the word of God, we now are bringing that message to our brother and to our sister in their time of need. Because that great dragon, which was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So as my brother was saying a little bit earlier, see, these devils are abounding. These spiritual predators are looking at chops right now because they see wounded people, and they want to know how long before they get too weary to fight back. How long before they're too weary to fight back? And that's why even when it says about the grieving process, you grieve one time, get out, fall to your eyes. You don't even want to open your eyes. That's how bad they hurt. Till you don't feel your heart beating in your chest anymore. Till you feel such heaviness on you that it's hard to breathe. And all you can do is groan. And all you can do is moan. All you can utter out sometimes, but he says, get it out. Because if you don't get it out, what happens? You can't get stronger until you purge yourself of all that suffering. You know, we watched that video of the lion. And what happened, you know, there was a group of lions that were going around, brothers, and they were tearing all the other lions. But then one day, one of those lions that was part of that group was caught without his brother. And those lions went and took one of their brothers. See, we can't allow this to happen right now. It's all he wants to do. It's all he wants to do. I'm trying to teach him a lesson, though. I really am. But there's just so much. This eye just won't stop leaking. Three, six. And when the woman saw that the tree was, But the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Elohim doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now remember that the two trees that were said here was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did. And the eyes of them were opened, and they both knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Elohim, the Yahweh Elohim, amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim said unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? I called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thee shouldest not eat? Now, one of the questions that have always come up and is always a point of debate is, what is the tree? Right? At the end of the day, it don't matter what tree it is. It don't matter if it's an apple. Don't matter if it's a peach. Don't matter if it's a pear tree. The point of the matter is disobedience. They heard the word of Yahweh. They were disobedient to the word of Yahweh. As a result of this disobedience to the word of Yahweh, the relationship that they once had with Yahweh could not be the same afterwards, because now they had corrupted themselves. Matter of fact, it's a real simple thing to know what the tree is. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. The scripture says the tree of life, to them that hold fast. And it's talking about the Torah. And all of the supporters are happy. See, that tree of life is simply obedience to the Torah, obedience to the word. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the fact that you can, you have the choice to disobey the word of God. And as a result of this disobedience of the word of God, we have what we have going on in this world today. Violence, corruption, hate, malice, deceit, all these things are going on as a result of what is taking place, what took place back then. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel 22, 11th verse. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation from the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, thou seest up the sun, full of wisdom, a perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Elohim. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise that fulfilled they had filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast said, Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy trespass. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. 28:19. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a cherub, and never shalt thou be any more. Scripture gives us that passage in Ezekiel, gives us a little clue into who that serpent represents and what his entire purpose is. Turn with me to Isaiah 14, the 12th chapter. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O son of the moon? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken in the nations? But thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Elohim, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And so, now we've seen those scriptures, and forgive me, family. We've seen those scriptures where the workings of our adversary, you know, what he did and what he is still doing, you know, today. Violence and corruption. Have reached the doorsteps has been taken from us. But it doesn't mean that we should give up the fight. It doesn't mean that we should falter. Actually, what it means is what we should do now is everything that's in our being to fight against and to serve the Father. Use this as an opportunity to examine, re-examine, you know, all of our relationships. With our Creator, but especially so with each other. Now, the scriptures say, how can you love Elohim if you don't see? But you can't love your brother if you see her today. You know, we all have different personalities. We all have different ways of going about life. We all have different outlooks. We have all different, you know, upbringings and things that we have experienced in our life. But when Yahweh intervenes within your life, he intervenes for the purpose, for the intent of purpose of showing to submit themselves to him. But here's the key with God. He won't do anything with you that you are not willing to do. He can't change within what you are not willing to give. Because even when you look at what took place between Cain and Abel, Abel yielded, and Cain yielded too. But Abel yielded in sincerity. Cain yielded in malice. You know, sometimes you can serve under the pretense of being sincere sometimes, but not being necessary. But with this situation, but to allow it to change us for the better, not for the worse. Let's allow it to embolden us, who we've all been called to. Let's find a way to rejoice. Let's find a way to praise. Let's find a way to say hallelujah. I know it's tough right now, you know, for all of us. It's not easy. Anybody
else? You said it. And I never saw it until he brought it out today. When the ministers, the angels came and ministered to Yahushua. Thought that Yahweh put in my mind when that came about was when Yahweh told Moshe to make everything I say to you after the pattern that I showed you. And it dawned on me, we are a pattern. Us as believers here in the world, we are a pattern of who? The Malachi. And as the Malachi went to Yahushua and strengthened him, and as Yahushua did in the kingdom, Satan got through out of the kingdom. So what is our job as a pattern down here on earth? To root up, to tear down Satan's kingdom, to cast him out of everything that we can, that we possibly can, as the pattern of the Malachim and the kingdom. And I thought that was deep when he brought that out. I said, we're doing the same thing. That was deep. Because we are that pattern that Yahweh chose. We are in the fight between good and evil. And when we get relaxed and think that there's not a fight between good and evil, Satan has the upper hand. But sometimes Yahweh have to remind us constantly in the fight of good and evil. I remember Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel years ago, he did a teaching about you in the war. And he said the man in the war, he in enemy territory. The man laid down his rifle and walked away. He did a mistake, brave mistake. Why? Because first of all, he forgot that he was in the war and he forgot that he was on enemy territory. Satan was kicked down here, where we at. So now we are bringing to fight to him. So we are in enemy territory. Everywhere we stand, this system is Satan's system. So we are in enemy territory. So we can never put down that sword. We can never get worried. If we do, we see a brother and sister, what are we supposed to do? Go to them, minister to them. And the brother brought out earlier, and when he talks about the Nahash, the Satan, the serpent, how it whispers to you. And made me think about what you brought out in Ezekiel 28, how Satan is that serpent. That wasn't a serpent, that was House of Tongue. The scripture says that you were in the garden. That was House of Tongue. So she went up against numero uno in the kingdom of this world, right? So he whispers. That's what we do. When you hear these thoughts coming to your mind, understand who's whispering to you. Know that he is that one whispering these thoughts to you. But what did Yahushua say to one of his Talmudim? Pulling down everything that exalts itself against the kingdom of Yah. And that was a thought that Yahweh gave me, that we are that pattern. And because we in that fight, trust and believe, you can't never drop your guard. I don't care if you get a black eye. Do not drop your guard. Do not stop fighting, and especially for one another. Like Moshe had to have his hands held up, we're going to have to be there for our brother Yaakov, our sister. We're going to have to hold their hands up and each other at the same time. Anybody else have any questions? We're going to end there with Blog Talk for today. For coming out, thank the listeners, and thank Yahweh for being here with us in our time of trouble, because he has not left us family. He haven't left us at all. Cocoon. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteousness in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate. King, blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Brother Yahweh, you want to close us out with prayer?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we know that the company that allow us to receive that company. Let's not. Father, we ask that we continue to allow us to come to this house. We've given them love. They need them. For we know that your love will overcome all. We thank you for sending them a time. Allow them. Those who we know that thy son, our Lord said, oh, sure, when we persecute us, we know that you felt pain.
Amen.
Father, you've just given us an example of the pain that you have. Father, we ask for thee to continue to strengthen. We know that you're strength, and we can't. Your work. Please help us not to allow this pain to come through. We ask you, thank you, my son, through our Lord Jesus.
Amen.